Heavenly Father, we ask that thy word may be open to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. If you read this in the original, the very first word, do come in and welcome. The very first words is not lo, but this only. And it's literally from above or by itself, on its own. And what it means is this. I make this my summary of the whole matter. Lo, on with this one point I'm driving ahead. I found the actual answer to this problem, and I want you to note that this is the answer. Now, the Bible makes many bold claims, and it claims to have solved the problem of man here, because where it says, God hath made man upright, it's the man. It's Ha-Adam. And Adam does not mean a man, but mankind, men, women, children, all the human race. So what it says is, lo, at the centre of the matter is this, that I've found that man was made upright by God. And now we come to the whole point of it. When I hear the government make a move, I always know it will be for the worse. I'm sure of it. I've never seen a government yet which acted for the better. I remember my father saying to me that the great difference between governments he had known and during the war was during the war you normally agreed with the government in the move they'd made. And that was because there was much prayer behind it and because God intended it. And God did something which we didn't deserve. Now, the fact is that all that man is doing in laws is contrary to the word of God, and the result is they have not understood man. Until you understand man, you haven't a hope of putting man right. Now the trouble is, first of all, among Christians. In the Middle Ages, the schoolmen, who Luther called dirt and disliked intensely, were very learned professors who preached very long sermons. But what they did was preach them to the monks and the monks to the people. There were men like Anselm and Abelard, and you will find many others with them. Now, what those men did was this. They took the philosophy about man of Aristotle and they put it alongside the Bible and made a hodgepodge of the two, and the result was that they greatly emphasized the sins of the body. Therefore they had the seven deadly sins, and you will find that gluttony and drunkenness and adultery and theft are the top ones. All sins of the body. They muddled the thing, and that muddle continues among Christians to this day. Christians tend to put adultery well above pride, foolishness, and an evil heart. They tend to make sin out of the fleshly sins and not out of the spiritual sins. And that is a carryover from the schoolmen, which has been carried over in certain churches ever since. Now, that's one side of it. Another side is this. The secular world cannot find out God, and they do not understand man. When Plato, in his dialogues, described his master, Socrates, he said that the center of all Socrates' life was searching for what made him. What was the thing that to understand himself he should know? He was looking for the answer to himself. Not further. A senior doctor he was a specialist in the National Health, told me this. When he was in training, they had to do some psychology. And he said, really, when you watch the doctors doing psychology, what they were all doing was summing up themselves, not using it for patients. They were all getting introspective about it and thinking about themselves. And all the way through, man's trouble is that he has not understood man. Nor have you and I, unless we open our eyes completely to what this verse says. This verse says, the very center, the nub of the matter is this. Now, why does he say that? He says it because in this chapter, he has been looking at two sides of the problem. One is, he found that there is exceedingly little wisdom in the world. Lo, this I have found, one man among a thousand. He says there's almost no wisdom in the world. You cannot find wisdom in this world, is what he's saying. Very, very few are even interested in wisdom. You look at the books that are taken out of libraries, and you talk to the librarians, quite apart from the nastiness of many books that are taken out, they are mainly children's books and novels. And I watch people when I take up to the library, and I watch them, and they're collecting in bundles quite worthless novels by the latest novel writer, and not very clean ones at that. The fact is that people aren't interested in wisdom. If you get down to wisdom, man has a very low interest in the subject at all. That's what this man's saying. You may agree or not, but neither governments, nor wise men, nor philosophers, nor anybody else really get down to wisdom. Wisdom has eluded them. And the other thing taken up in this chapter, which he's coming to the conclusion about, is the calamities facing man. Man is facing many calamities, and they go on and on. And he describes them from verse 15 to verse 28. There's a whole heap of calamities that come upon man. Now, he says, what is the answer to all this? And lo, he says, look, think hard what I'm saying. This only have I found. This is the central nub of the matter. God made man upright. Now, what he's saying is, man blames God. When a man says, I blame my parents for the way I behave, what he's really saying is, God, you gave me these parents, and I blame you, God, for having made me thus. And when you talk to the man, he says, why just no? He's perfectly innocent in the matter. You listen to a man who's been caught speeding on the motorway. Listen to what the traffic cops have to say. They say, we have to photograph them. And when we tell them they were weaving in and out of the traffic at 90 miles an hour, they say, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't, or anything like that. He said, when we show them the video, they suddenly change. And change their whole story. You see, the truth is that man blames something outside himself all the time. Well, it's those others, they got in the way. Well, I had to get to work quickly. Did he have to? Usually people are speeding in order to put their feet up for an extra couple of minutes when they get to the other end and have a cup of tea. That's what they're at. They're not going there because there's some pressing need to get there in a hurry, or they got out of bed far too late, or they tried some other method of getting there which was obviously unreasonable. But they don't blame themselves, they blame God. And when you look around and you listen at a funeral or anywhere else, you'll find men blame God for the mess they're in. Now, the first thing this verse does is says God is not to blame. Man is to blame for his own self. God made man upright. Now, upright is partly means standing on his 2 feet. He didn't start off on 4 feet up a tree like a monkey. He started on 2 feet standing upright. That's what the Bible says. Lo, God made or created man upright. Now, it's like the church spires. They point a finger toward the heavens. And you yourself, when you stand upright, point toward the heavens. And God made man upright. upright. Now, what do we mean by upright? Well, God made him work according to the law of God. Now, I want you to note something there. God made man upright. God did not add to man, after he created man in his own image, uprightness. God put actual, essential righteousness into man as he created him. That is what the Bible teaches. So man have absolutely himself to blame for his troubles. God created him upright. Now what do we mean by upright? Well, we mean that God had a law. It's a strict law, like there's a law of science. If you touch fire, you burn. If you bury your head in water for half an hour, you die. They're strict laws. You can't get out of them. If you go and pour acid all over a child, the child will be a horrible mess and burn to death. You can't get out of the laws by prayer or by any other means. They're there. They're there. If you throw yourself off a cliff, you'll fall. Now, God made man upright. It means that God made man absolutely in conformity with himself, so that he naturally kept God's law, naturally loved righteousness, naturally loved God, naturally wanted to be absolutely perfectly straight all his life. Never tell a lie, and all men have lied. Never, never do anything wrong. Now that's how God made man. The Bible is quite clear. God made man upright. And it says, he has sought out many inventions. Now I want you to note there that there is no other way of understanding man except by revelation. You will not understand man by Jung or Freud. They're laughed at today, although they were the Bible for many years, and many other theorists have taken their place. And I want you to note something else. God did not intend man to be monkeyed around with. God does not want you to have a pig's heart and a baboon's liver, so in order to live an extra year or two in your carcass. God does not intend you to put away your children either by contraception or by murder. God does not intend you in any way at all to monkey with the genetic makeup of human beings so that they turn out different. They have now discovered methods of manipulating the brain. They have always had them, and they're horrible. I remember listening in this town to a powerfully built Russian with a great moustache, just like Russians have in pictures, and his wife with a headscarf on. They were peasants from Russia, and he was a Christian pastor. And he'd been put in a show court by Stalin, and he'd been condemned. He wasn't even allowed to look up, and he was put in a prison, a horrible prison. And because he didn't conform, and because he refused to give up Christianity in any shape or form, they put that man finally in a van and took him a long way. And he said, I saw in the distance a building. And he said, when we got close, I could see it was totally isolated on this huge heath, alone from anything else, nothing in sight. And when he got in, it was where they put the worst political prisoners, and they kept them quiet and all the worst criminals with them by injecting them every day. And he said, I began to see men injected with horrible substances. He said, to the point where men would scream when this so-called nurse came into the place, and said they'd force them down and inject them, and it was violently painful. And he said, I've seen men beat their heads against the studded doors of their cells in their desperation when they got this in them. He said, I spoke to those men. He said, I spoke to them most simply of the love of Jesus. And he said, I saw all round me men burst into tears. No one had ever loved them for years. They were in that horrible incarceration. He said, I was put in there. It was Stalin's final method of correction instead of killing you. And that is exactly what man is doing. Man is manipulating man. They do it by psychology, they do it by psychiatry, they do it by every means at their disposal. They do it by genetic engineering, they do it by social engineering. They're all all after getting man to be different. I remember once years ago hearing two conservative ministers speak on the old black and white television about the fact that the Chinese were trying to eradicate the idea of God from the mind of the child. And both came to the same conclusion. I remember the discussion clearly. I was then in my 20s. They said, it is impossible to eradicate the idea of God from a child unless you are to get really motherly women when they were young to teach them that from their cradle. Said, then you would have some chance. But to do it by the rough methods the communists were using later is impossible. And they were right, weren't they? They were completely correct. You see, the fact is that they are trying their very best from birth to eradicate the conscience, the idea of God, the idea of difference, and the result is the mess the world is in. You see, man, they see, has a problem. Racism. Genderism, they call it. Old and young. They see all these groups failing to get on. They see each race against each other. They see government and people against each other. They see the whole thing. They look at it and they say, we will engineer it. Now, God made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. It does not mean subtleties. It means evil things. The very first thing that man thought out was that God didn't love him. The real thing that happened when Eve took that fruit was this. The serpent said, yea, hath God said. And at that moment, he put a doubt into the woman as to whether God loved her. What the serpent was saying was this. God says he loves you. He doesn't really, because he's keeping you from the one thing that would make you like a god. And because he's keeping you from that, he's showing you that he's really manipulating you. He's keeping you down there under his thumb. And the woman believed it. And that is why, it's a very simple reason the Bible gives why women do not lead churches. It's the reason the Bible gives, not me. It's because the woman hearkened to the voice of the serpent and gave unto her husband, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. That's what happened, and that is why God is put aside these evil inventions. Now, man is in a hole. And what he does is goes on with these evil inventions. And he's digging himself deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole. And instead of trying to come back to God and do the very simple thing and repent, he will go in for any number of evil things which he invents. These are the things that men are inventing, the great things. You see, they invent that God didn't create man, that man created himself, that it all happened by chance. And that's a vast invention which overthrows much of the belief in God. They have many, many other inventions. God made man upright, but he hath sought out many inventions. Now that's the sum of the matter. So just take one other thing from the account in Genesis. Man was made perfectly pure and innocent, and we know it only by revelation, but we're quite sure it's true, because otherwise God would be the author of evil. And God is not the author of evil. There's no evil in him. There is no darkness in him. All is light. All is peace. All is love. God is perfect. And man was made like God. But this is the plain truth of the matter. Man was made mutable. Now by mutable we mean changeable. So man wasn't made hard and fast like that. God made man upright, but he left him with the opportunity to choose. Man genuinely had free will. And when people talk to you about free will, they always have in their mind the idea that somehow we still have free will. But man chose wrong. Chatta, missing the mark, is sin. Rebellion against God. Turning aside. It's like this. You take an iron bar and you bend it. Now try and bend it back again. You'll never get it straight again. Unless you reheat it or even melt it right down and start again. And that's what God does. So the answer to man's plight is the very simple thing Jesus said to Nicodemus. So simple that it's ridiculed from end to end of the planet. Ye must be born again. And that means the only way out of the mess man is in is to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus said, you're a master of Israel and you don't know these things. But he said, the wind blows where it listeth, where it wants. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes or where it goes, and that's true. Now, what it is this. When a man is born again, he switches back to the purity there was, where he goes back to loving God. I saw that letter in the paper the other week. A man wrote and said that while he didn't believe in God, he had always taken it that the logical answer was evolution. He'd never doubted it. But he said, when I was converted later in life, he said I had some idea of God before that. But when I was converted, he said, I suddenly saw as plain as pikestaff that God created men and that man is in God's image and that's how it is. He said, I had no difficulty with it and I don't have to this day. And you see, arguing with evolutionists is putting a cart before a horse. What they need to do is be born again. What needs to be done with governments is not present them with petitions, but be born again. That's what opens a man's eyes. It's revelation. And it comes by this very simple method of recreating us in our original righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ had original righteousness. He offers you that righteousness to return to the Garden of Eden and become as a little child and become pure like Naaman the leper so that your skin returns to you as a little child. He offers that, and he offers to take your sin on himself on the cross and bear it away. And Iro, which is carry, means to bear away, take away, so that he has cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. He has made us anew. We are a new creation. We have a new heart, a new spirit. The stony heart is taken out of our flesh, and we are given an heart of flesh, so that we change back to the righteousness that Adam had. But this time, it is also mutable. We are left with choices, and you can either follow God fully like Caleb and Joshua, or you can follow him like the Israelites in the desert who died because of their rebellion, as we recite each Sunday morning in the Vinaiti. The truth of the matter is this. The whole answer to man is in the hands of the Christian church. Ye must be born again. And the trouble with the Christian church is it's still infested with the ideas and teaching of the schoolmen. All this idea of fleshly sins, whereas the real sins are idolatry, spiritual wickedness, the underneath hatred in men's hearts for God. These sins that are real, pride and ignorance and foolishness, those are the great sins. The others arise out of them. Now, the Lord help us to understand. God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Amen.